podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Full-time Devils, it's time for another big Manchester United podcast. My name's Gaz, that's Andy Tate, and that's Abdullah, whose surname I'm not going to try and pronounce. Pronounce it for the people at home.
Galu.
Now try it's not, and spell
it's
it.
You're not going to do it, it's difficult. So yeah, I'm not going to go on a mad one if anyone's struggling to spell that one out.
Try and spell it in the comments, that'll be curious. Right, so yeah, we're here to discuss everything that's been going on Manchester United related over the last week. Are we totally honest? We've usually got like Jay or Adam or Housen or someone involved in the podcast. Someone who usually actually plans what we're going to talk about. That's not happened today. We've all just turned up and we're going to absolutely wing it. So guys, where should we start? Should we start with the latest news, which has come out today, actually, in regards to our hunt for a central defender, Harry Maguire? Apparently, $70 million was the offer from Manchester United, which was rejected. Thoughts?
I don't really know. You know, with Harry Maguire, I'm a fan of him. I think he's more of an aggressive defender who, when he wins the ball, he's comfortable enough to keep it, which I think is the problem with Chris Smalling. I think Chris Smalling's brilliant at getting at the attackers and winning the ball back, but once he's won that ball back,
yeah,
he's all over the place. He's got to turn, and then he's got to turn back again, and you just can't find the midfielders, and he can't progress the ball. And I think Maguire gives you that, but $70 million is way too much. And according to what Sky is saying, is that I think the Leicester City owners want something higher than what Van Dijk cost initially,
because I think Van Dijk
that's
cost why initially?
$75 million. So I think it's a waste of money if we're looking at 17. Is he someone that's going to clearly progress us over the coming seasons? We want to sort out our defensive areas, but for $70 million, whereas like you can get a Ruben Diaz, Diop from West Ham. We're looking long term. I think you need to look long term as well, because what's the point if we're signing a defender now, and a couple seasons we've got to sign another? You've
26.
Got to gradually rebuild.
He's 26, mate. He's not. United's policy, like, they don't sign 28, 29-year-olds. I can understand that, but he's 26.
No, I get that. I'm fully with that. I think it's a good age to buy a defender at.
Yeah, it is.
But that's going to eat up your budget, which means you can't gradually improve your team. I'm a big fan of Harry Maguire, and he's at the top of that list. He's part of the three or four defenders that I would have gone for in the summer. But over 75 million, that's crazy. Maybe 70 mil,
welcome to the world
it.
Of crazy money
now.
Yeah, I understand that, but see, again, there is always going to be a budget, and I think people don't understand that we've not actually got the money that some of our fans think in the summer.
I know that's a fact.
We definitely don't.
We don't have
that budget. Otherwise, deals would have been done by now, mate.
Oh, mate, come on.
And I think,
what are you saying then?
He's identified what he wants. Yeah. We've got two. Another two players is required. Maybe three more, but
four, five.
Oh, well, I could say, but you're not going to get it all in one window.
No,
but if you could get four, it's a start.
Yeah.
And Maguire, like you say, you see him at World Cup last year, and he's fed off that World Cup experience. He's played well with Leicester. He's good at set pieces. He's strong. He can play out from the back, like Abdul said. It gives you options, and he scores goals now and again. I remember he scored against Liverpool in the league, is that?
Yeah.
And he practically, your man Matt Aguero out last season at the Etihad, and it took a company rocket to win the game and virtually win the league. So I just buy him, and he could 4 years. He can play till he's 33, 34. You've got 7 years with him there.
Yeah.
And if you get Alderweireld, he's like 28, 29 in there.
I think the worry for me is if you get Harry Maguire in, how much is that going to affect the rest of our transfer, like for the rest of the summer? How many more players are we going to get? And like, when I was talking about, I don't think we have the budget that some of our fans think we do. I'm not saying that the money's available. Are they giving it to Oli? Are they trusting him enough? And by the sounds of it, not as much as we think they are. I think there's enough there for maybe a Maguire pushing it at Bruno Fernandes. The reports coming from Portugal is that United have actually thrown in a €35 million which is a joke offer for Bruno Fernandes. They've rated him at 60-70 million. I think that's why they want to negotiate with United, understandably, with the numbers that he's putting in.
And Benfica lad's gone for like
120. That's Joao Felix to, so that's the transfer market. You got to look at that, and I think it's important we get a defender in. It's also important we cover other areas of the pitch.
Now, I'd agree with what you're saying there about the market, and you'd expect to pay £70 million or more than £70 million for a first team English player. But unfortunately, that's just what you've got to expect now. It's not my money.
If you've got to do well in the league, Gaz, though, if we want a chance of getting a top four, you need a solid defence.
We
won't have that if we don't get a central defender.
I agree, but some people, and usually I'd say like it's just because of the market, but we have another centre half there who maybe isn't. He's a little bit older than Maguire, so I understand why he won't be interested in that much, but he's going for £25 million, and that's Toby Alderweireld.
Yeah. So sensible signing that, I think, if we...
But would you drop out of the Champions League to come to United?
Yeah, that's the thing again. We've seen that, though. We've seen players do
that.
He'd
want to come to United anyway.
They come to United. And I think even when Liverpool went through that stage where they weren't in the Champions League, they were still signing certain players that are dropping from
the
Champions League.
That's the attraction with Daniel James and Aaron. They've wanted to come here. They want to play.
Yeah.
They've got good family background. They want to play for this club, and that's a good start. And we're still attracting talent. So hopefully we can get the other two players in. It's a start for next season.
I think the problem that I've got with Man United right now is we seem to identify players when they've already moved. So you look at Isaac Diop at West Ham, brilliant defender for his age. You know, we look at his performances against Spurs, against Arsenal last season. He comes out to win the ball. You know, he plays it out from the back. He looks for the passes over the top. Sometimes it's a bit too much of a risk, but he's still young. I think he's only 21, 22, something like that. It's around Marcus Rashford's age. And from what he's shown last season, brilliant. I think he complements Lindelof really well. If United, and I think Jose spoke after that 3-1 West Ham loss, he said, you've got to rate what the scouts have done at West Ham, you know, identifying Isaac Diop. That's what we need to be doing.
Do you reckon that was a dig at our scouts? Or?
Yeah, I think that's a dig at what United were doing. And that's all Jose was doing towards the end, around that time we lost to West Ham. And understandably, that's where I am with Jose. And the thing is, if you look at Konate right now and, you know, loads of players that are across Europe around that age group, you can go in and get them for 30, 40 million early doors instead of them moving to, you know, a mid-table Premier League side. Then you've got to pay 100 million. I think we need to be there early doors for some of these players. And you don't only just save money in a transfer, I think, in general. Is you got to save money in your contracts as well. Because if you're buying, realistically, you buy a player 50, 60 million, you're going to have to pay him a bigger contract because that's your worth.
Yeah.
Whereas you get him early doors when they're young. Look at Daniel James. That's sort of the work that we want to be doing. And I think...
Then you just wait 3 years and give him a 200 grand a year week contract.
Yeah. And then it blows up on Twitter and everyone's gone mental.
So, right, we've got to get into this now, haven't we? Because this was probably the biggest story from the week, apart from Wan-Bissaka arriving, which we will talk about. We've spoke about him plenty of the last few weeks, though. Marcus Rashford, new contract, 200 grand a week is what you said before, Andy. You were right in that. 200 grand a week, potentially rising to 250. Obviously...
300.
I mean, the thing is, though, right, with the contract, I saw Jay put this on Twitter, and it's totally right. It's the same with the Martial contract situation, or I think his fee and what we have to pay Monaco if we were to achieve something. Is we don't pay Rashford 300 grand a week unless he wins the Champions League or wins the Premier League or wins the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, so it's crazy bonuses on top of that until like he reaches those certain bonuses. So it just means if he's smashing it at that level, then he's going to... rightly so, get his bonuses.
And I'm for it. Yeah.
When I'm for it, the difference is the Sanchez contract. It's a bit of a mad situation because his, like, I think appearance fee is like 75 grand or something mental like that. So just getting on the pitch. So I don't know who the hell was negotiating those contracts, but they've done an awful job at it. Matt Judge or whoever it is that's hiding in them offices in London, who Ed Woodward's mates that are just in jobs. That was an absolute disgrace, that contract we're giving to Sanchez. And it was desperate, and it shows everything that's wrong with the club. And it's had a knock-on effect.
And I know, and don't get me wrong, I know it's dead easy to compare it to Sanchez, but let's solely focus on Rashford's contract for now. Is that a bit too much money to be paying him? Because I'm a fan of him. He's a young player. To be honest, he's going for a sticky run of form at the minute. But I think for Manchester United, he's done absolutely unbelievable things for a 21-year-old. Honestly, I think he's quite unfortunate that he's come out along the same time as players like Mbappe, because he's always going to be compared to them. But United have struggled the last few years. I don't think Marcus Rashford has struggled. He's scored on every stage he's performed on. At 21 years old, he's got an unbelievable amount of appearances. He is a player for the future, without doubt. But 200k a week, bit too steep. Right,
so
I'll see you for life, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone of us in the room.
You get that once a year, you're happy with that. A week's wages set you for life
with your family and all that.
It's crazy that the football wages were at, but if we're breaking it down, with you got to look at the wage structure that you're in. If Marcus Rashford's at Spurs, I probably wouldn't give him over 100k. Dele Alli, I think, is under 100k, which is crazy. Danny Rose, I think those guys are just either on 100 or just under that. That's a proper wage structure. At United, you've got Alexis Sanchez, and I don't even know how much anymore.
The reports, 350 something.
I mean, what it should be, you have your top players, your world-class players in De Gea, your Pogbas, between the 200k, 300 maximum of a 300k bracket. Fortunately, United have just, you know, they've given Martial over 200k, that contract.
Yeah, but they wouldn't give Herrera what he wanted, was he? And they go and give Rashford this monster contract.
The issue then with the Herrera thing, and I wanted Herrera to stick around more than anyone else. I'm a big Ander Herrera fan. With Herrera, apparently he was actually offered a pay cut, according to Duncan Castles, who... Well, sometimes he gets things right, sometimes not. But I won't be surprised if that's the case as well, to accommodate other contracts. Maybe the likes of Martial and Rashford.
Oh, Mata took a pay cut.
And according to that as well, Mata did take a pay cut. The issue with the Marcus Rashford thing is Barcelona were in for Marcus Rashford over two seasons. They've wanted Marcus Rashford last summer. And it's been reported two or three times from Spain. They've wanted Marcus Rashford. You know, they wanted to build something around him. That's automatically going to up the contract. On top of that, Rashford's going to look at the guy that's sort of in a similar situation with him in the squad. That's Anthony Martial. He's apparently, you know, receiving around the 220k, 250, whatever. You want to be getting near that.
That's a good point.
That causes a headache instantly. So I'm not surprised, because you don't want that divide right now. I think United have just got... Once Sanchez is off that wage, somehow, if we sell him... United have got to tone it down and really, you know, look at those contracts. And maybe that's why we've not agreed to deal with De Gea yet, because, you know, we're trying to look at not giving that crazy contract.
We've built a rod for our own back, haven't we? Giving Sanchez that contract.
Sanchez is firing in the tournament in South America, isn't he? So what do you do?
What do you mean he's firing, though? He's not going to do it at United, though, is he? Do you think Sanchez will do it at United next season?
Well, if we can't get rid of him, you've got to give him till January and that's it now. Because if we get Lukaku, you've got Rashford and Sanchez up front. And if we get Lukaku, maybe Ben Yedder from Sevilla. Yeah. Sevilla. So I'll give him till Christmas and that's it now. But if he fires with the form he's got now, currently with Chile, you got to play him in the first 10 games.
I've watched a couple of those Chile games, and one of the lads with us in the office, I was just chatting to him about it, and he was telling me he wasn't actually so great in those games.
He's got a
I went
penny
back
one.
And,
so he wasn't
and
the
he's scoring the goals
from Arsenal, don't we?
But he's not off the ball, he's still really poor. You know, you look at the Southampton game at Old Trafford when him and Rashford, I think, started as a front two, so disappointing off the ball, then gets injured, then comes off, and you're just like, how much longer can we take this? You know, everything is an absolute mess.
I just wonder, does he get
injured
deliberately?
I think he is trying to prove a point. Like, Sanchez doesn't come off as that type of player, you know, greedy sort of. I think he genuinely wants to do well. You know, we see him work hard on the pitch. Yeah. That's without a doubt. You can never take that away from Alexis Sanchez. That's his character. He always works hard. But you can't fit him into this United team. And I think with Lukaku as well, if players are going to... I mean, players that don't want to be here, sticking around, again, you're keeping them on your wage bill... Then you can't get the likes of Ben Yedder. You can't build that team that you want.
So Marcus Rashford getting that bumper contract then, do you think it was the same sort of situation with Martial getting paid a little bit too much, where it was just because another club was in for them, a top elite club who would have been willing to pay them that much?
I think it definitely plays a part.
So you think if Barcelona came in, they would have been like, if Barcelona actually were to put the bid in, they would have said, bang, 200 grand a week, Marcus Rashford, get in.
the way Barca give their deals out, you never know, man. Because some of the deals they've given out, you know, Coutinho and all that, they are quite huge. And if they, we've seen how Barca do, Frenkie de Jong. If they want to build something around a young prospect in Europe, you know, and they did. They went in for him.
So. And you missed out on De Ligt.
Yeah,
And that was all because of money, and he proved he's worth what he is. So, a money grabber.
It depends what the situation is that they're in, though. If you look at it, Barca, do they badly need a defender right now? Whereas United, you know, they're willing to pay whatever it is for De Ligt. At the end of the day, he didn't want to join, regardless of that. But you know, over the bar.
It's like, look, I'm a massive fan of Rashford, and I know that we've spoken about being fans of Rashford in the past, but $200,000 a week. Is he worth that? I'm not saying. Would you get rid of him?
No.
$200,000 a week
at the moment. On his form since Christmas up till February. No, I know he was injured. I know he was playing with injuries. If he was playing with injuries, why did we play him when you got Alexis Sanchez?
I think that you know what.
Maybe that's something to do with him playing fees for Sanchez and all that.
And your mate Lingard struggled with that as well. I think a little bit.
They all struggled, and like I say, it's been a volatile summer for United fans. But it's maybe there's some light at the end of the tunnel.
Light at the end of the tunnel. Let's bring a bit of positivity then, because we're all obviously screaming out for more transfers. One that I feel like was one of the most important ones that we get sorted this summer was fullbacks, at least a fullback. And I did start to get worried that we weren't going to do it. And then the Wan-Bissaka link started, and we're just like, yes, this would be perfect for us right now. And he's here. Aaron Wan-Bissaka is a Manchester United player. How excited. I'm going to start with Abdul about this, because Abdul, I remember being buzzing about it a couple of weeks ago, saying he needs to come.
I'm a big Wan-Bissaka fan. And, you know, from, I think, that game that we played away from home, Crystal Palace, one of his early games at Crystal Palace where we won 3-2 in that, he was phenomenal in that game. You know, shutting down, I think, Rashford when he came off the bench pretty well. Sanchez was on there as well, and they all struggled against him at Old Trafford last season. Martial couldn't get a sniff. You know, he shut down Martial brilliantly in that game, and he's impressed me. You know, his numbers are incredible. Top of, you know, the tackling.
I'm just trying to find out some Wan-Bissaka stats.
He's getting on that Statman Dave. Statman Dave. But earlier he did tweet one, so you might find that there. But I think he's won the most. He's had the most interceptions for any defender in the Premier League. Most tackles won by any defender in the Premier League at that age for a fullback. That's brilliant numbers, and I think in this market, 50 million, we've not done too badly, and I'm happy with it. I think it sort of fits what.
If you look at the season before, Kyle Walker went for about the same amount, 50 million to 54 million. So it's a good signing and a 10-year career at United.
I'm just gonna get something off my chest while we're here on the podcast. I just accidentally went on an MEN article. Then, and just anyone online, right? People at the MEN, if you're watching this, sort out your website. It's every time I click on an MEN article, it's like 20 different pop-ups come up. I don't get to see the actual story. It's like, it's not that difficult.
That's how it works.
Sort out your website.
They don't make any money any other way, mate.
Oh, right, okay. Well, yeah, because no one buys the fucking shite paper anymore. But yeah, Wan-Bissaka, we're happy with it.
Yeah, I'm loving it. Yeah, because he's a position that's been filled, and hopefully now. No disrespect to Mr. Young, it'll be a limited play for him next season.
That is where I worry now. You see, with Wan-Bissaka being, I want to see Ollie playing the young players, and I think that with him going out and signing those guys, then he definitely won't be scared of playing the young players. But do you worry that Ashley Young is still going to get too many starts next season? I think he will. I think Ashley Young will start first game of the season against Chelsea.
Fucking hell.
We're one injury away. That's the problem.
Mate, we're one injury away. What if like Luke Shaw picks up an injury? You know, anything like that.
You've got to pray the pre-season goes smoothly, because there's a lot of travelling, fatigue and all that. We're playing Perth. We're playing Leeds United. And we're going to, is it Singapore? Tottenham. We're back in for Cardiff for AC Milan. Fancy going to that myself.
Yeah,
it's a good game. I'm
looking forward to it. I am looking forward to watching players who we know want to play for United.
Yeah.
Actually play.
I think what I'd do next season with the whole Ashley Young situation is Demi Mitchell could potentially be coming back and getting in the mix, and I'm a big fan of him.
Good enough?
Not particularly, like I said, good enough to start. I mean, I'm a fan of him, and I think he's shown, you know, brilliant, you know, couple of seasons right now in Scotland. I'd bring him in as a backup, as a left back, you know, more of an attacking sort of player. Maybe he steps in for Luke Shaw in the Europa League games. And then Delow, hopefully now it's his time to step up. I think he will be used as a right winger at times, Delow. And he'll be used to double up with Wan-Bissaka.
Well, Ali has said that, hasn't he?
Yeah, and I think it's logical that we have that now. That someone who can play across that defensive line, someone who can play across midfield, not in central areas, but on either flank. And I think it's important to have that. I remember having John O'Shea, who can do that really well under Sir Alex. And I think it's important to have those players in the team. And if he's good enough to lock one position down, then fair enough.
Yeah, well, Ashley Young, now, like you say, well, you'd have to play him in that position. And if injury-free Aaron's doing well, you can put him on the wing and he can play. He can see a game out, play last 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, that's
minutes.
What we want to see.
That's
from
the option.
Young,
if we're in trouble, go on, put some crosses in, stick him on for 15-20 minutes.
So, right, a player can get away with having a poor game better at right wing than he can at right back. Yeah. It just because a defender can get away, an attacker can get away with having a poor game than a defender can, especially with Ashley Young, when sometimes it just seems like weird lapses of concentration almost.
You're one mistake away from conceding a goal, whereas if you put a bad cross in, whatever, it can whatever. Come back into the box, you can maybe even score.
You get a ricochet or anything like
exactly.
that, yeah.
And I do think that should have been Ashley Young's role. You summed it up perfectly over the last couple of seasons. In fact, it's taken this long for that to become his role. Hopefully it will be in the next season or so, you know, covering up on the wing with the
and
fullbacks.
I'll give him this, he is experienced and a level head.
He is. It doesn't show his experience.
Anyone, no, but if anyone's getting out of line in the dressing room, any of the young, young ones, or it can just say, like, you know, come on, get your act together.
You don't want to lose all. I think you don't want to lose all the experience in terms of that in the dressing room. Yeah, even though I don't think he leads by example.
I just got.
I don't think he leads by example.
I've got Mata. We've got Young, De Gea, not much.
I've just got an image of Ashley Young going up to Wan-Bissaka and saying, "You're shit." What? Could you imagine your reaction if Ashley Young tells you you're shit?
Bitch, please.
Mate, pot kettle. Right, we've got our right back, we've got our full back, we've got our winger. We are definitely going for a centre-half.
Midfielder.
Let's talk about a midfielder that we have been linked to. Bruno Fernandes. Briefly mentioned him before. You guys are going to have to tell me more about him because he's one of those names that I've only ever read.
I watched these videos of his goals and his assists for last season.
Yes!
On YouTube. And this lad's got some.
Yeah!
Really? No, he's talented. He is talented.
And he's watched a YouTube compilation. That's what
Well, he scored, was it 24 goals last season? Sporting Lisbon. I think they won the Portuguese Cup.
Right.
And I don't know if they made the Champions League for next season, but the goals are there. Go and check it out. And the assists, and some of them are so sweet. So he can pick a pass straight down the middle, onto the wing. He's like, yeah, there's something about him.
Can I just say that how refreshing is Andy's honesty on these podcasts? I hate it when I'm listening to a football podcast and a name like Bruno Fernandes comes up and someone goes, well, yeah, you know, I can tell you, and someone will reel off all these facts about him and how good he is, and I'm like, you've never actually watched him play 90 minutes. You've never watched the Portuguese league. I love that Andy's just honest and just says, I watched a YouTube highlights video, this is what I think.
It's a good half an hour I watched it. With some Portuguese music in the background. Like a samba.
Where do you get these from? I found like the 5-minute ones on
it. It was half an hour, mate. I just watched it and chilled out.
It's been taken down by now, mate. The copyright.
The music got to a point I just had to put it on mute and just watch the goals going in and all the assists.
He has had a brilliant season in Portugal. Obviously, we don't sit there and watch it week in, week out, but from the couple of games I did catch, I think what's important is that you have him in those central areas, you know, in and around the box. You don't want him too far from the box. I think when he drops in deeper, like I watched all these games for the Portugal and the Nations League, which was interesting. Just seeing where he picks the ball up. In one of the games, he played out wide, and a lot of people were disappointed on him, disappointed about him, and jumping on his back and saying, oh, it's too much money, why are you paying it? And then the Holland game, the final, he looked a lot better. He was taking a lot more shots. He was getting on the edge of the box because he was moved into a central area. And I think some point, if we get him, is that we play him in his best position. And these are some of the stats coming from the Statman Dave account, so shout out to him. But we've got basically stats in Portugal last season. 120 shots, which was most in the league. And I'm a big fan of actually taking your chance and actually going for goal, because I think the more you go for them, yeah, you know, just out of, you know, the season after that, you always notice some of these players, their expected goals, they get a lot better, and they, you know, they start scoring a lot more goals. Harry Kane, every time he gets the ball, turn, bang. And, you know, he might miss a lot of chances, but he's scoring, you know, loads of those goals. So I think it's important that he's taking his chances.
You know what? I was a guest on another podcast recently, the Rooney Rewind podcast, where it's a lad named Colin, actually. It'll be out soon. It's going to be good. I was basically talking about Rooney's best bits. And obviously, building up to that, I watched an awful lot of Wayne Rooney just to refresh myself. And it's amazing when you think back to the one memory you have of Wayne Rooney when you watched him. Gets the ball, you know where he's going.
Yeah.
There's only one way he's going. He might not shoot. He might not play a pass. He might just be looking at a dribble up the pitch, but he's going forward.
Yeah,
exactly. And he's like a bulldog
and
as well.
And I think that's what someone like Bruno Fernandes can actually do for
us. That's what we need.
We need players to turn and, you know, go straight ahead to goal. Because if you notice, Matic, too long to progress the ball. And the Herrera, I was a big fan of him.
Yeah.
But we wanted him for the dirty work. We wanted someone to progress the ball with him in midfield. And other than Pogba, there was no one like that. And I think...
I don't know if Pogba's even that type of player as well. We saw him quite a lot of the time. He'd muck about a little bit on the ball.
If we keep Pogba, can they work together?
He'd try a little bit too much, but I don't think he was the direct enough. But yeah, Bruno Fernandes,
I think Bruno Fernandes with Pogba, Andy was asking, can he work? I think you're going to be a little limited tactically, which is a worry. I personally go... If I'm setting up United next season, might go with a 4-4 and then a 1-1, sort of Bruno Fernandes and sort of the 10 behind Rashford. But then Pogba's got to come off the left and way too far out wide there, and we've seen that it doesn't really work with him. I think he'll be quite limited. We'd have to play a diamond. But at the end of the day, the numbers there from Bruno Fernandes are incredible. And if you can get the goals and assists that Pogba's bringing in with Bruno Fernandes, then United, you know, they're becoming more of the goal-scoring midfielding sort of team, which we see from Manchester City. Yeah.
The proof's in the pudding for Fernandes. The proof is in the pudding with what he's done last season. Yeah. He's there, and if we do get him, he deserves his start.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the numbers he's putting on are incredible.
How much?
You know, we've just looked at it, like, he's got 20 goals, which were the most from midfield, and 13 assists.
Sorry, I meant how much we have to buy him for?
Oh, buy him
how much
for.
It cost?
£70 million, I've been heard.
I think, yeah, 65, 70 million is what Sporting are looking at. Apparently, we've only thrown £35 million, according to some reports.
Eesh.
And that, again, talks about, you know, sort of the budget.
Going to pull it in for him, maybe.
That will be an incredible signing for Liverpool. Hopefully it doesn't come off for them, because that could be the missing sort of piece for them for that.
But are Liverpool going to spend any money this summer?
I think they might limit a little bit.
Like, they're not going to spend big, but Liverpool signed a Norwegian player last week. I heard that.
Yeah, I think from the Dutch league they signed someone quite young. And
Tottenham, you said someone, didn't you? Who's Tottenham signed? And Ndombele, was it?
Ndombele, they've agreed to deal with
him. The English transfer market's not even kicked off yet. There's only, I mean, this summer, there's only two signings United have made. Like I say, I'm not heard Arsenal made any, bought anybody. Like a Chelsea transfer embargo, Tottenham not got anybody. Nothing's been serious. It's not in, maybe next week it'll all start kicking into place for all the English clubs and it'll just go crazy.
And that excites me a little bit as well, because these young players coming into United, I mean, I don't want to big them up too much, because I want to give them space to sort of develop and make mistakes, because they are going to, the young players, but we just don't know how good they might be. They might be like Wan-Bissaka in a top team. We don't know just how good he's going to be.
Exactly, and I think a couple of these lads can surprise us. You know, Daniel James, Wan-Bissaka. Wan-Bissaka, have seen what he can do in the Premier League, but like I said, in a better side, just about better considering last season.
Yeah, but we've got pace now in this side, and that's something we were lacking last season.
I think Daniel James
attacking
gives us
instinct.
That, man. I'm happy with that signing.
We've been sluggish the last 2-3 years, and that's it. But Daniel James brings pace. I've seen his. Check out his YouTube on compilation. YouTube clips.
Check out his YouTube clips.
Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad. It's only a couple of few minutes long,
we need to make a Andy Tate YouTube compilation.
There's plenty out there.
I was going to say, there probably isn't there.
Yeah. Daniel James looks energetic, and Aaron, it's good to have him there. I'm happy for that, and I'm glad they've been announced. But we just need maybe one more, two more.
You know what? Right, we've got about five. 5-10 minutes left to today's podcast, right? Andy, I want to ask you because I'm going to forget to ask you. What do you make of Abdullah's top? So, for audio listeners, by the way, today, Andy's turned up in a United kit. I'm just here in a Primark special. And Abdullah's in a black Adidas training top with a logo where the badge would normally be. Now, that logo, it's like circular sort of rainbow colour, and then in the middle it says PP. So, Andy, what do you think of Abdullah's top?
Pringle FC.
Andy doesn't actually know what it is.
It's nothing to do with Pringles.
I've seen the logo before, but I don't know what
Andy, come on, Andy, guess that logo. PP in the middle of a circle. It's an Adidas training top.
Oh, Paul Pogba. Yeah.
He's got it.
We've only wanted this to trigger Andy, innit?
Answer me this.
It's well nice.
Why has he got an extra week's holiday?
Why does he have an extra week's
I think it's
because
they're scheduled in to come back on a certain day. Because obviously he had the international break with France. So everyone's got like Daniel James had to come back today. Pogba's back tomorrow. So I think that's what it is. I think that's what Oddie said as well. He's not just taking a day off.
Being at dressing room tomorrow morning when he walks in.
It's because he's not coming back.
No, but like you could imagine yesterday morning, Jesse Lingard, office please. After these antics, maybe not. But Pogba tomorrow, office now, please, Paul.
Why, what's Paul done? What's Pogba done? I don't know what I missed out.
Andy's just throwing his agenda.
Why, what's Pogba done?
Pogba's done nothing.
What he's said on his his tour in the Far East. Maybe he'll get pulled to one side.
When he said that he wanted to leave. I think that's actually a good point.
You do that in your workplace, office
now. You know what, that's a good point, right? Because people criticise Lingard and Rashford and people are slagging off Young today because he turned up with a pack of Uno at training.
I thought it was a pack of Chews.
I think if you're going to... The reason that I've not actually gone in on Pogba for those quotes and really slagged him off is because I was just under the assumption, right, that's him gone. He's not going to be playing for United again. Yeah. If he is going to stay at United for this next season, yeah, he should be reprimanded for them quotes. You can't just go out and say stuff like that and disrespect your employers.
I do think there's a time and a place for what he said, and I understand sometimes it's honestly he said that it could be time to look for another challenge. I just don't think it was the right thing to do considering he was on a tour.
Mm.
You know, saying it's some random...
I think it was disrespectful, man.
...channel or whatever it was in Japan.
Hmm.
And
he won't get fined or anything, but he will get pulled on it.
I do like Paul Pogba and I want him to stick around. Like, and I think we can build something around him. And we've not built... I think he's that last piece that you bring into a team. He isn't a player that you bring in and then that's it. You got to start gathering a team. I think you bring him in as that last piece of the jigsaw and then you're winning shit. So, unfortunately, with Paul Pogba, I think... we've got to start building around him, otherwise for him he can just go Madrid and win titles and that. I just think he's got to hold his mouth a bit in the media for his sake, for United's sake.
No,
as well.
But the thing is he doesn't care what he says and you know it. He doesn't care what he says. If he naffs off the fans, he naffs off the
then
board,
again fans care. Giving it
it's about him.
Fans
it's
giving him in the corner of Old Trafford, like he must have held that in the heart, you know, your own fans giving you shit like that and you're just trying to give your shirt to a young lad in the crowd. Our fans aren't...
I accept that was wrong.
So
come out with that. If you're better than them, why come out with that on the top when it was in the Far East?
I think it'll be an interesting, awkward sort of meeting when some of those players come back. And you know what? I think that the Jesse Lingard thing as well, you know, I defend him and stuff, but that video of the shagging on the bed and stuff, like, I know. It's funny to me.
That was supposedly on his private story and someone saved it, though. I don't know. I think that's what.
I think it was posted on his story.
No,
like, you know,
it's his phone.
It shows the private or not private.
Right.
And I think someone might have saved it off his private.
Okay, I don't know.
So maybe it's like someone.
I don't know.
And it went around.
If you put that on his stories,
I don't know.
Silly Billy at the very worst.
Exactly.
He's a silly Billy.
I just
Billy.
Feel like he generally tried putting that on his private. Did he? It seems like a private.
So 2 days later.
It seems like a private story.
Yeah. 2 days later, he's weightlifting. Trying to make amends and put his image back out there. Too late, lad.
Fair play to him, I say. Look, that's the seasonal kickoff. If he scores a goal, no one will care. Same goes for Rashford. Same goes with Pogba. We complain about these players and what they're doing off the pitch. If they're doing it on the pitch, no one cares. So let's just wait for the season to kick off. And then hopefully the toxicity around the club will calm down. One thing before I wrap up today that I think that is something we'll all be quite happy about. Valencia has a testimonial next year. This is going to be happening. Valencia's getting a testimonial next year at Man United. Yeah, an official testimonial. I'm happy about that.
Yeah,
I'm happy about that.
I think he's a hard-working player who served the club well.
Totally.
Wasn't so great in the last couple of seasons, but it happens as he
treated badly at the end by the club, I think.
Yeah.
I would have genuinely rather had him towards the end of the season than Ashley Young. Just my opinion.
It became that bad. It made a difference.
For that 10 minutes against Cardiff at home, in the that horrible last game of the season, he looked a lot better than Ashley Young, to be fair.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, end of the day, happy to see us sort of, you know, give him that in the end.
Tony V, I always liked Tony V. I think he's one of those players who really did benefit.
Sounds like a gangster when you put it like that.
Tony V.
Tony V, yeah.
Italian gangster.
Yeah.
Tony V, the snips.
You're talking to me.
Yeah, Tony V, I thought he was a player that really benefited from Fergie. Don't get me wrong. I think if it wasn't Fergie managing him, he maybe wouldn't have had the career he had and won everything that he did. But fair play, Valencia. I thought he was good for us at times. And before we finish today, because I think you need to get off, do you?
Yep.
Let's give a Wally of the Week. We know, because we need to give a Wally of the Week. We do this every week to someone who deserves it. I think I know who mine will be. Curious to see what you guys will say, though.
So, I can't think of anyone. It's been very quiet this week.
I've got a good one for you. Go on, who you got?
I've gone forever's complaining about that. A couple actually complaining about Ashley Young carrying Uno cards into training. First of all, Uno is an absolutely mint game. Even though I was quite rubbish at the start, my mates will admit on holiday, but we come back and it's a great game and now I'm mastering it. So
United need a connect forward at the back.
Complaining about a bloody game being brought into training. What if they're on a lunch break or whatever and they just whack table like cards on the table?
Well, that's a monopoly, innit?
Drugs or whatever, people kicking up a fuss about that is a joke. And you think me defending Ashley Young,
I know.
I've been saying he should be out of the team for a couple of years. I didn't jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
But that is a joke, man, because people saying this is our problem. It's not even a problem at all. It's not one of the problems. People saying, but it's one of the problems. No, it's not. It's not a problem.
No, it's not.
3 years ago, players were going out and getting pissed every night.
Gambling.
Stop it! Gambling, shagging, everything, all sorts of debauchery. You know,
I bet they all still do it.
Oh yeah, yeah, but they play Uno as well. That's all. I know who my Wally of the Week is. Rafa Benitez.
Why?
Rafa Benitez believing Newcastle to go and manage a team in China.
Nah, I got.
Fair
I
play to him. Why? You got that wanker, Mike Ashley, fucking up that club, you've been pissed off. Messed about, so fair play to Rafa.
Try building something.
Go and earn your payday in the Far East, lad. Fuck Mike Ashley and fuck them all up there.
And you know, I agree with
and
that.
It takes a Newcastle fan.
I know, I've got sympathy for the Newcastle fans, but Mike Ashley, he's a fucking wanker.
Yeah, he takes
a piss out of that club and their fans.
Sorry, I was trying to do Fergie in a Newcastle accent, but I don't think I can do it in a Geordie accent.
Well, why I bite a Grove, lad? You know?
That's really cool.
And Dec got nothing on me,
you've never pulled that out of the bag before.
Aye, man, Newcastle Brown Ale.
Oh, there's a video in this. Right, join us next time for that. Andy can do Geordie. Wow, amazing. But yeah, we'll see you next time. This is Full Time Devils Podcast. We do this all the time. Bit of a short one today. Soz about that.
It's my fault.
But yeah, it's Abdullah's fault. He has to go somewhere. But we'll see you soon, all right?
Adam will be back next week.
Yeah, thank the Lord. Podcast Network.